We're beginning our second part of the Seder. You'll notice that I was unusually rude. Ordinarily, if a guy walks in and asks me an unusual question here at Machon Meir, I just try to answer. But at the night of the Seder, we have to focus on the Seder because there's so much to do and so little time. And that's why at my house, although whenever you guys come for Shabbos and you want to discuss any shtuyot you want to discuss, I respect that and we discuss it. Do I believe there are Martians? Do I believe the Chinese are Martians? Do I believe the Chinese are descendant from Avraham Avinu's other wife? Oh, anything you guys want to discuss, we discuss. But on the Seder night is the one exception. Because on the Seder night, we have to focus. We have a biblical mitzvah, and there are so many concepts that we have to cover on this night that it's a very short night when you consider how much you have to cover. We're going to read the whole Haggadah and understand it, and also cover the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, what we're doing now is the work that has to be done before Pesach. The eve of Pesach is usually spent with the family, helping the wife, helping the mother, and everyone has a great time helping prepare for the Seder. You have to set the table. The table has to be set when you get home at night. You have to prepare your pillows. I don't see anyone here with pillows. You guys have to have your pillows here already when we start. You have to have... Don't peel all the eggs, please. We're still going... I want some eggs unpeeled for measuring. You have to prepare your becher. I don't see anyone here with a becher, with a cup to drink their wine in. You have to prepare the Seder plate. What's going to go on the Seder plate? So we discussed already, we're going to have three matzahs. We're going to have maror. The lettuce was already pre-washed, courtesy of Shimron. And we're busy peeling the horseradish right now. Ordinarily, you can use one maror or the other. You don't need both. Please don't eat. I want you hungry, just like at the Seder night. You can finish what's in your mouth, but everything else, let's leave. So on the Seder plate, what are we going to have? We're going to have Mar and the Charoses. No. Finish peeling, and whatever you can't peel, slice. You have a knife somewhere here. Yes, for sure. But just bear in mind that if you break it too small, you won't be able to grind it, and those are big pieces. You want to be able to grind them. So I'd rather you peel it with a knife rather than break it off. You understand what I'm saying? Because otherwise you won't be able to... Okay, so our famous Seder plate is going to have maror, which is one of five species. We commonly use either lettuce, you get bug-free lettuce, or horseradish. Different people have different traditions. The horseradish should be ground. You can't grind it on Pesach, so you grind it before Pesach. We're going to do that in a minute. No. Why do that? Watch. Okay, so we're peeling our horseradish.
Ready to fry.
What? Okay, the big parts of the horseradish, even though they're hard to peel, they're the critical parts because that way you could get the most grinding out of. So some people grind it in a food blender, a food processor. You could do that. Some people say that it doesn't come out as sharp in a food processor, so they like doing it by hand. When you guys come to me to do the preparations this year, unfortunately, we are not hosting our own Seder for the first time in many, many years. But at my house, all the guys who come to the Seder are expected to come the eve of the Seder because the whole point is to learn how to make all the preparations. So we do it by hand just so that we can all cry together as we peel the maror. You leave the maror out on Erev Pesach. You leave it out so that it loses some of its sharpness, because otherwise it's really, really sharp. Toda
rabah. So today's going to be a real party.
Tonight it's not going to have an opportunity to sit out. Now when you leave it out, you also want to spread it out in a big pan so that it can really lose its sharpness. If you leave it all bunched up in one place, and then it's not going to lose its sharpness as much because it's going to be piles.
And is that okay. One of the things that get tomorrow?
Oh, no, I don't think so. But anyways, we leave it in the fridge. You leave it in the fridge so it remains fresh. You don't leave it completely revealed because then you're not going to have any flavor to your mark. Yes, you do. What were you saying?
You need your phone?
Yes, I do, actually. Thank you. That's brilliant of you. Thank you. On Yom Tov, I don't need my phone. That's true. But when your wife will be in her ninth month, you'll also need your phone.
Oh, really?
Later. Yeah. So, Bezrat Hashem, where should be B'Shat Tova, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you see what I'm doing? You just got to keep going inside and peeling.
It smells great.
Excellent. Okay, Mr. Binstadt, let's continue.
Maybe we'll have some refreshments while we work.
No. I want people hungry the way it is at the Seder. Well, hungry, thirsty.
Okay.
Seder. Who? I don't argue with the Madrich. If he says so, but we do need his cups, Yuda. No, do we have plastic cups?
Let's have some cups.
Fantastic. Okay, you'll continue peeling off the screen.
Okay.
Yeah, they got the picture. Okay. Are bugs coming in? Yeah, sure, we should buzz one though. Fine. Okay, next. This is the fantastic date spread. You could mash up dates like some people do. Mr. Binstock, we're going to let you make the charoses. There are a lot of bugs. On Yom Kippur, you can't kill bugs. You open this? Okay, Mr. Binstock, please take a bowl. Do we have more bowls, Yuda? Okay. Thank you very much, Yuda. Take a bowl, put in apples. I'd say 40% apples, 40% date spread, 20% ground up nuts, or 30%, 30%, 30%, and then the 10% will be wine. We'll add grape juice of wine.
Okay.
What? So we're going to get another two bowls. Ah, great. We have bowls over there. No, that's fine. We don't need more apples than that. Okay, so we're making the charoses, and we discussed earlier why we need the charoses. And now we're going to, we have our three matzahs. And while they're working, I think we're going to start our Seder, just because we're short on time tonight. So, what? That's an excellent question. In a minute. Ah, so maybe before we start our Seder, you're right. What are we going to have on our Seder plate? So, one thing I did not bring for the Seder plate this year is a roasted chenk bone. You put a roasted chenk bone in memory of the roasted paschal offering. And you put an egg, a cooked egg, in memory of the chagiga offering. That was the main meat of the night, the chagiga offering. You had a little bit of the paschal offering. Right? On the night of Pesach, what did you eat? You ate the chagiga offering. And at the very end of the meal, you had some of the paschal offering, a kezias.
Isn't it also the raya offering?
Olatria?
No, the raya. The offering you bring for the shlem.
Shalme chagiga, yeah. Shalme that's chagiga. The chagiga.
And there's also an ola or something?
Yeah. But the ola you don't eat, and the ola you don't have that night. That night, you the ola is tomorrow or the next day. Machlokas b'shamay b'shilo, but you don't eat the ola is not part of the seder. No.
The ola you eat the next night.
The ola you don't eat. The ola gets all burnt.
Right.
But some machlokas shamay b'shamay b'shilo, whether it's brought on Yom Tov or on Chol HaMoed. So that's but that's not relevant to us. So let's not confuse things. We have two sacrifices that will be eaten tonight: the chagiga and the Pesach. Okay. Now, we said that we have to eat the volume of a kezias. How much is the volume of a kezias? Okay, so the volume of an olive. And we said that it is possible that our... the volume of an olive. It is possible that our olives are smaller than their olives. So we said that a kezias is also defined as half a... an egg, right? So let's see. If you guys want, we have over here. I don't know what page this is. We have on the back to basics over here on Pesach. You can each take one. You should cut the betzala and Yehuda for preparing them. Dov, you want to take and pass them around? So now, ba. Okay. Are we ready, gentlemen? Gentlemen, are we ready? Okay, so let's measure the volume of an egg. How do we measure the volume of an egg? Okay, excellent. So, what? Let's wait. The shukah. Okay, so we brought a coarse measuring cup. And we have two measuring cups here.
You can cut yourself, no? The brim is not...
No.
Oh, okay, it's close.
Okay, you have over there... Shukah. Okay.
How much do we hate the brown?
Not too badly, don't worry about it. Okay, so we're going to measure... Where'd he go? We're going to measure an egg, to know the volume of an egg. These look to me like middle or small eggs. These look like small eggs. These are medium? I don't think so. These look small to me. What? What? There are three sizes, really there are six sizes of eggs. There's large, there's extra large, there's medium, there's small and extra small. What?
That's like the only size I've ever seen.
Really? No. This looks to me like smaller eggs.
Extra large, they're huge.
Right. There are six sizes really in eggs. So we take the medium sized egg, and that's excellent. Yes. Now you just got to grind it. You have the grinder back there. I would wash it off. The grinder is still has apple on it from the karpas. Okay. Yeshar koach. Toda rabah. Thank you very much. Okay. So we're going to measure. You guys are each going to take a measuring cup with water and measure how big an egg is. Grab one egg. And measure, we want to know how many ounces is in an average size egg. So here you go. Take it, measure your egg. Dove, here you go. You put in water and with displacement. Wait, that water isn't high enough. It's got to fully cover the egg, right? So you get real displacement. Okay, so you fill up the water to a point where, to a line. Okay, and then you measure how much you went up. So measure an average egg. And
it really sounds like Pesach.
Okay, so you'll measure an average egg. You can measure with this one an average egg. And see how much you come up with. How big is an average egg? You might want to have to pour it into a cup. Now, what? We don't need rulers. Yeah, it's hot, but it'll still measure the same. What?
Your preference?
Yeah, maybe the smallest.
Okay.
There, yeah.
It can be next to me.
Okay. Now, we always, when we have to drink, I would put it down on a flat surface so you can see how much it goes up. If you're not sure, take out the egg and start again. Okay, we have to... we have to drink wine. We have to drink a ravias of wine. How much is a ravias? An egg and a half. Okay, so when we know how much is an egg, then how many ounces is in an egg? So then we'll be able to figure out how much is a ravias. Would you just do 1.5 times that, 1.5 times that? So figure out, you guys each measure your eggs, and we'll see how much the average egg is.
Just by being cooked, they will have different...
No. Okay, what you guys come up with? How much is an egg? Yes. How much is the displacement? How much does it go up?
One and one.
How much? 1.25 ounces?
I'm not measuring the egg, though. Just how much the water rises when you put the egg in.
Oh, okay. 300.
How much was it before you put the egg in, and how much was it after you put the egg in? Right? Okay.
No, it's a
How much was it before you put it in? What?
It's like 250, so I put it in. 300.
That's not ounces. What are you looking at?
That's a
That's milliliters.
What?
18 is what to 21.
Okay, so that's 3 ounces? Yes.
I would say. This is, I don't know how many ounces. Almost
a little bit more.
Well, look at it. What does it say?
It doesn't say ounces.
Wait, how much?
We got to go back to...
18 to 21 is ounces, yeah.
18 to 21 ounces.
So your egg is about 3 ounces.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means that a ravis would be 1.5 times that, 4.5 ounces, right? Okay.
Right.
Yes.
This one was a little bit more than 8, and now it is at 10.
Okay, so your egg is about 2 ounces. Okay, so let's see what the average is. What about dove?
It's a quarter.
Are you looking at the ounces?
1 1/4.
Those are cups. Look at the ounces. Turn around, you'll see ounces. Measure how much was it before you put the egg in, how much is it after you put the egg in? Okay, so your egg is also about 2 ounces. Now, I think that these eggs are extra small, but when we speak about a ravias, that's a ravias, a quarter of a lug, which is the amount you have to drink of wine, so that's going to be either 3.3 ounces or 4.42 ounces, different opinions. So let's measure that into a cup. Could I have a plastic cup, please? And could I have your thing, please? Or one of them. I just have to measure. Okay. So we want to know. Well, first of all, let's see. How much is this cup? So this is 180 cc. How many ounces is in the cup? Just so you know when you're getting a cup to evaluate, because when you make kiddush, when you drink, you want to know if you have to make a borei nefashos, if you have to make a bracha achrona, well, you have to know, did you drink a ravias of the tea, of the juice, of anything you drink? Kiddush, you have to drink a ravias. Okay, so let's see. We said, take the more stringent opinion, 4.42 ounces. That's a ravias, right? Okay, so where do we have ounces here? This is, just a second. Okay. So this is a ravias. Oh, these are small cups. No, this isn't right. Unless these are tiny cups.
And this cup's usually about 3.5 ounces.
What?
And this cup's usually about 3.5 ounces.
It's
written
180 cc.
Yeah.
Right. What can I tell you? This is a lot. It's not. Okay, fine. I'm used to using bigger cups then. Okay, so this is this is a ravias. You drink this, you have to make an after blessing. This is the amount. But on the Seder night, you only have to drink slightly more than 50% of this, meaning you don't have to drink the full ravias. So that would mean that the amount of grape juice you actually have to drink at the Seder night is this much for each cup. That's not a lot. Okay? You only have to drink more than 50% of a ravias. Rov ravias. You don't have to drink a full ravias. Okay?
Is it preferable to drink the whole thing?
The only thing that's preferable is to drink the majority of your cup. And therefore, it's preferable to use a cup that has the volume of exactly a ravias, 4.5 ounces. That's also an easy way to gauge. Meaning, if you have a cup that's 10 ounces, then there is an opinion, we don't say you have to, but there is an opinion that says it's preferable to drink the majority of the actual cup you're holding. So that's why we try for the Seder to get ourselves a cup that holds exactly a ravias, not too big, so that you don't have to drink too much. Now again, but that's astringency. The basic halacha says it doesn't matter what size cup you're using, This is the volume you have to drink of each of the four cups in order to be Yotzi. This isn't the Revius. This is 50% of a Revius. You have to drink 51% of a Revius. You guys with me? So far, so good? Okay, so that's not too hard, and there's no reason to get drunk.
So you could go the whole Seder night without drinking a Revius of wine?
You could, but... generally, we do finish the fourth cup and make an after blessing on it, so then you probably would drink a revius of the fourth cup, otherwise you can't make the after blessing on it.
If you're drinking 50% of the cup, wouldn't you be getting a
revius? Yeah, but you don't have a revius within the correct amount of time, and you're getting a revius over a large time span. Us Ashkenazim make four blessings on the four cups of wine. Sfaradim have a different custom. Guys, could I trouble you to go to that table so that... the noise isn't like a, sorry. Can you hear me from down there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh.
I just mean if you're grinding it on this table, it's a little hard. So then let's just take off the tablecloth so we don't get it stained. Okay. So we have we understand now what is a revius. Now let's move on. If we said that an egg is approximately 2 ounces, right? We said that an egg is approximately 3 ounces. I'm sorry. And that's why Revius is 4.5 ounces, approximately 4.4 ounces. So then how big is a kazayis? 1.5 ounces, right? Either 1.5 ounces or 3 ounces. We said a kazayis is either half an egg or the size of an egg. Okay, so now we have to understand how much matzah do we have to eat in order to get a kazayis, right? You have to eat a kazayis of matzah. So we said there are two opinions as to the size of a kazayis. Either the kazayis is the size of the volume of an olive in our present day and age, which is approximately 1.5 ounces, or else a kazayis is the size of our eggs, which is 3 ounces, approximately. So far, so good? Okay. How many ounces do you guys think are in this matzah? Meaning, how much of this matzah do I have to eat in order to get to a kazayis? So, for the more lenient opinion, if all I'm trying to get in is 1.5 ounces, what we're going to do now is ask Dov to break up. We're going to give him a half a matzah, a quarter of a matzah, break it up and crush it into this. And we want to see, let's see, do we have a more accurate measuring cup here? Do we have anyone that goes to 1 ounce?
No.
That measuring cup doesn't... Okay. So, Dov, you see... Come on up here. Come on camera. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Dov. Let's hear a round of applause for Dov. Okay. Okay. This line indicates 2 ounces. Okay. We're going to try to get it just under this line. Okay? Till about here. So, what we're going to do is give you... You guys see the size of the matzah? Now you understand hand matzah is going to be different. I'm estimating that this is slightly under or almost exactly the smaller volume of a kazayis. I'm probably wrong. We're going to see. What you're going to do is take it in this cup, start crushing it up into the smallest pieces you can, and we'll see. But you can do that in your seat. Toda rabba. Shekuach to Dov. Okay. So we're going to try and estimate. You guys saw how much we took off the matzah. Now let's see if that's really a kazayis. Dov, what you could do is break it up inside with your fist. Just don't break the cup. Okay. Next. So now we're encountering kazayis. Our wonderful Mr. Binstock down there, all the way from Canada, Toronto, made us charoses. What did he put into the charoses? Ground up apple. Date spread, 100% pure date spread, kosher for Passover date spread, and ground up, which nuts?
Walnuts.
And we take sticks of cinnamon, which our fantastic Bezalel, all the way from Portugal, came here and brought us excellent kosher for Passover cinnamon sticks. They're not really kosher for Passover, but if this were Passover, we'd only use kosher for Passover. I know, that's why I didn't do it previous years. Right. So we take cinnamon sticks, and these cinnamon sticks commemorate the stalks. Remember, we said they were grinding the mortar with straw in it, right? That was the whole idea. That was the decree. You're going to have to make your own mortar. You're going to have to bring your own straw. So we put sticks of cinnamon, here they want to put them on our charoses. I would lie them down, not stand up. Lie them down like straw, right? Fantastic. Okay, here we are. Why not use all of them? You see the straw on our... Don't make a raft out of it. You see the straw on our charoses? Okay. So now we understand. Okay, yes. For all our viewers, I feel like all those chefs. Okay. Okay. I have all these fantastic assistants from all over the world. They come to help me. Okay. So we're almost ready. We've roasted a piece of chicken in memory of the Paschal offering that was roasted. We will not eat roast on the Seder night so people don't get confused and start thinking that we're bringing the Paschal offering. We don't have a temple. We don't bring a Paschal offering. What we will have is three matzahs. Dov, how was I?
A little under two.
A little under two. You see, that was more than the smaller volume of a kezayas. So let's... So let's see. You want to pass it up here? Let's see. Thank you, Dov, for crushing up our matzah. Let's see our crushed up matzah.
Is there any cases you can have roast on Pesach?
No. There was an opinion of tudus each romi in the time of the Mishnah. But we don't paskin like him. And if you want, ask the question again on a Thursday night and you'll get a more elaborate answer with a Chassam Sofer and other things.
What day is it?
No,
this night is different than all the other nights you heard. Okay. Okay, no, it looks like I wasn't so off. That looks like it was about right. So now let's compare. On this machine matzah, which I think is egg matzah, this much amounted to 1.5 ounces. Okay? So now you could estimate that this much, about half a matzah, would amount to 2 ounces, right? We need 3 ounces, so that's about two-thirds of a matzah, okay? Of a machine matzah. It's most of a machine matzah. These are smaller than the standard machine matzahs. If you want, in the Kol Dodi Agada, he gives you his math. I recommend you do it from scratch at home. You have the instructions in the Kol Dodi Agada. You have the instructions a little bit in short version, in our Back to Basics, and you just learned it here. So we're trying to figure out how much is a kezayis. And we're trying to figure out the smaller volume of a kezayis, 1.5 ounces, and the bigger volume from a kezayis, which is 3 ounces, right? So we're estimating here. Now we need one more thing, and that is to measure our maror, to know how much maror we need to eat in order to get a kezayis. Now... No, you got to keep grinding. You got a lot of work. Thank you, Mr. Horenstein from... No. Mr. Horenstein, remind me where you're from?
Canada.
Where in Canada?
Toronto, we'll say.
Okay. He's not really from Toronto. No, we got to impress our listeners. We have
Hamilton.
From Hamilton, right. No one knows where Hamilton is. That's more impressive. Okay, Burlington, right. Okay, so we're going to measure our kezayis in leaves. You want to pass me the leaves, please? Yehuda, also from Canada. Wow, the Canadians win here tonight.
It's a big country. Yeah?
Yes, it is, isn't it? Okay, snow-covered, but big. Okay. Lettuce, gentlemen. Lettuce.
Lettuce,
cut the lettuce. Okay, so you realize that the lettuce is divided into two parts. There's the center, which is solid, and then you have the leaves, which you have to really fold up if you want to figure out how much is going to be the volume of an olive. Now, the matzah was difficult to estimate because the matzah, you have all these folds and air pockets. Go figure out how much is a kezayis. The maror is much easier. We don't really have to put it in here. And on the maror, being that it is rabbinic, we could go with the more lenient opinion that a kezayis is like our present-day olive. So now, we don't even need this much in order to get a kezayis. We take a leaf and we fold it up. And when we fold it up, we look at the folded up leaf, and it looks like when it's folded up, I don't know of olives that are bigger than this. Do you?
Does it include the pit?
Yes. Bayim v'kazayis includes the pit. You know that. Everyone knows that. Good for you. Okay, you guys see? So everyone can estimate. And at the Seder, you can estimate. We don't even have to measure it. I just showed you the fold, the flat out. But you might have a leaf that has more of a center or less of a center. You just fold it up and see. Do I have the volume of what I know olives to look like? Okay? So that's pretty easy. Kazayis, I mean, halacha is hands-on. And every person has to estimate their own. Meaning the halacha was not about measuring. Measuring is just so we get a picture. At the Seder, you're not going to sit with measuring cups. I want you to measure in advance so you have a picture. Take the becher you're going to use for the Seder night. And that becher, you should see within that becher, measure. How much is the amount I have to drink? We said, how much do we have to drink? We have to drink, what? The majority of Erevias. Meaning 50% of Erevias. Now, if a Revius is 3.3 ounces or 4.42 ounces, so back to square one, you want to check in your cup, what does it look like to drink this? Because some of those goblets, they have a curve, and you can't estimate very well looking at the goblet. I like using a goblet that goes straight for the Seder night. I got a gift for the wedding from my father-in-law's rabbi. He gave me a cup which is exactly the 4.42 ounces. I don't know if he did it on purpose or not, but I learned from him. I got cups like that also. That way at the Seder night, it goes straight, it doesn't curve, and you could see exactly, you have exactly Revis, you drank more than 50%, you're covered, it's a good cup. Okay, so now let's set up our Seder plate. Where do we have a plate, Yehuda? Ordinarily, we try to adorn our table. Tonight, we're showing ourselves and our children that we are kings. So at this Seder, at Machon Meir, you will have to use your imagination. And like we said earlier, the better your imagination is, the better our table is set. It's up to you. So we always put the more important one on the right and the less important one on the left. Now, there are two traditions as to how to set up the Seder plate. Most people do it like the Arizal, like the Kabbalists set it up. So you got to ask a Kabbalist what the logic behind that is, because it's Kabbalistic logic. Halachic logic, meaning what we understand, is right is always more important than the left. And we do it in the order of what we're going to use. So, what are we going to use? Let's see, we know. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to dip the vegetables, the karpas, in the salt water. So we put, could you pass me the karpas? The peppers, please, Shimon, thank you. Karpas is any green vegetable that's not cooked. The idea is you're taking a vegetable, you're dipping before the meal. So we put that right away on my right, because I'm going to use that right away, right after Kiddush. And then I need the salt water. Who has the salt water? Do we have salt water, Bezalel?
Sorry?
Salt water?
Yeah, it has to be green.
Okay. It doesn't have to be green. It should be a vegetable. Okay, we could just add this. Fine. So we have the karpas, which will be dipped into the salt water. Now, ordinarily, we try to put in enough salt that you actually taste it in the water. And you should prepare it before Yom Tov. Chatila, you're supposed to prepare the salt water before Yom Tov. So we have here the karpas, the vegetable I'm going to dip into the salt water first. Okay, what comes next? Gentlemen, what comes next? What are we going to do next? We're going to say magid, the matzah. And after the matzah, what am I going to do? I'm going to dip the maror into the charoset. So here we have, where's my maror? The maror. We try to do things in a respectable way. We put things on a basis. That's going to go into the charoses. And then at the end of the table, I have my roasted shank bone. You guys, you got to use your imagination for a roasted shank bone here. What could pinch hit for a roasted shank bone here? Okay, roasted coffee. Want to pass me an egg? And on the left side, that's the roasted. No, let's take in the peel. We use one in the peel so that... we don't leave unpeeled eggs overnight. So if you leave the egg inside the peel, then you could eat it the next day. This is to commemorate the Chagig offering. So we have our roasted shank bone, our cooked egg. Why an egg? So it's a custom to use an egg. And the idea of using an egg is to commemorate... to commemorate the destruction of the temple when we are in mourning, so we eat round things to remind ourselves that life is cyclical. Death is a part of life. Life is a part of life. Life keeps going in circles. So we also we eat the egg, and one of the reasons that's given, there are other reasons given, one of the reasons that's given is to commemorate that we don't have the temple here. We're having, something's missing from our Seder. Okay, now what do we need? Everyone has to have their goblets ready for the Seder. So guys, finish your Cokes. And no more drinking here tonight. If I could have my silver cup, please. Thank you very much. Look at my beautiful silver cup. Perfect. Oh, wow. Okay. And we shined it in honor of Pesach. I really shine the silver in honor of the Pesach because we were showing we're free men, so we use beautiful silver. I try to shine it in honor of Shabbos too, but that I don't always get to do. In honor of Pesach, we shine our silver. What else are we going to do? So, we have a fine gentleman here who came in all the way from Canada to be with us tonight. His name is Yehuda Frankel. And he is not only joining us tonight, but he's our madrich who actually set up everything you see here together with Bitzalel. These two partners in mitzvos here, they really arranged everything here. Bitzalel went far and wide to get us all these cinnamon and tapecher date spread and everything. Now, all the way from Portugal. He came in all the way from Portugal. At any rate, Yehuda is known in our house as the Sar HaMashkin. He is known as the butler. Why is he known as the butler? Because at the Seder night, he would go around pouring everyone their wine and grape juice. I knew I could trust him to do a good job, and he did. And ever since then, the kids always call him Sar HaMashkin. So on the Seder night, the custom is that we each pour for one another. As part of being free men, we don't pour our own wine, but we pour for one another the wine. Those of you who are in the gear process and have not yet finished the gear process, so you can't know if the wine is all cooked. So let someone else do the pouring. Don't volunteer that yourself. If you have cooked wine at the table, you have nothing to worry about. If it's pasteurized, you have nothing to worry about. But otherwise, let someone else do the pouring. That's why in my house we have a Sar HaMashkin, so we don't, it doesn't get sticky. There's one guy who pours for everyone, and no one has to discuss it. I pour for him. Now, it is immodest for a man to pour for a woman, and a woman to pour for a man to wash a woman's hand, and a woman to wash a man's hand. So we try to have the women pour for the women, and the men pour for the men. And when we wash our hands, so as part of being free men, customarily we bring a big tub around, we wash people's hands. If you have a Seder like by me, where you have 15, 20 people sitting around the table, it's going to take a long time. So only the head of the house has his hands washed, and everyone else gets shipped out to the sinks to wash their hands to save time. In some houses, they actually wash everyone's hand. If you're a guest and they send the girl around to wash your hands, don't make a fuss of it. Don't be a bigger rabbi than your host. Let her wash your hands and don't worry about it. But in your own homes, out of modesty, you should have a girl wash the girl's hands and a man wash the men's hands. Out of modesty, that's... What? A couple could wash one another's hands. That's up to them. Okay. So we're going to appoint the Sar HaMashkin here. Let's just get the wines and open them, the wine and the grape juice. All of our wine and grape juice, I think, are on the bushel. They're all cooked, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Excellent. Okay, so we have grape juice here. No wine here tonight?
No, it seems so.
Okay, the saving of more. So we're going to appoint two butlers here tonight. Shimon, if you could be the butler for your side of the table, yes, and Bezalel would be the butler for our side of the table. Shimon, it's all yours.
That's grape juice, right?
That's grape juice. It's all grape juice. So we have someone pouring our wine. Yehuda, you'll pour Shimon's cup. Is that okay? Ah, Yeshakach. But before you pour me my cup of wine, in order to get ready for the Seder, let's pause. Everyone get a pillow. We have to lean tonight as we do things. So guys, get your pillows. Just I regret to inform you that very often things get stained as you lean back and drink. We're not accustomed to that. So no one's getting pillows? You don't want to get pillows? Okay, so don't get pillows. Okay. So and I got to get my kittel, and we will continue with part two of the Seder in 1 minute. Really?